Blessings in Jesus Our Lord, and welcome to Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program coming to you from Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle. I'm Patty Scalzo, and our church here in Madison, Connecticut, is pleased to bring you these sermons in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Pastor Greg Scalzo has been teaching from Romans chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul, having discussed the ungodliness of the Gentile nations in chapter 1, now turns his attention to the Jewish believers in that church at Rome and expounds on the righteous judgment of God. When we left off, Pastor Greg was explaining from the scriptures that initially there were different degrees of understanding the Messiahship of Jesus among the early Jewish believers. And the Apostle Paul wants to make clear why they all need Jesus and the fullness of the gospel salvation in him. I'll be giving you information about our church at the end of the teaching. But now, let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo in the Sunday message.
So you have people in the church at this time that might understand Jesus as Messiah. Some of these Jews can understand it and not understand the fullness of what's needed. And really, that's true in Christian churches today, right? And one of the keys is you can talk to people in a Christian church, a traditional church, and if you say, who is Jesus Christ, they may say, well, he's the Son of God, right? We have him right up there in the front. They won't deny he's the Son of God, many. But if you talk about being born again, they don't know what you're talking about, right? How does that impact me that he's the Son of God? What does that mean for me? How does that apply to me? So it's very easy to have a knowledge of the position that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he's the Son of God. But what does that mean for you, all you Jewish believers in this church? Different degrees of understanding by the first disciples, and obviously we all need the fullness of the gospel. And in this discussion of the righteous judgment of God, Paul reminds these Jewish believers, who are obviously clearly more religious according to the law, the truth of God, as opposed to Gentiles that had all these crazy ideas. He says to them in verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just, will be justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. The doers, declared righteous, it says in the NIV. The doers. He goes on then and he says, as we want to look at for today, verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God judges according to the truth. You see, this is some important points in this section here. First, if we extrapolate the Judaism of Paul's day to the Christianity today, we might like to think sometimes that everything a real Christian does is good, and everything an unbeliever does is bad. But that's not true. That's not the reality. This section is dealing with truth. It's dealing with reality. And he's saying, look, you sons and daughters of Abraham, these Gentiles, they don't have the law, but what they do have, they have a conscience. They have a sense of moral goodness. What is a conscience? A sense of moral goodness, of righteousness that God gives to all those made in his image, all his creations made in his image. A sense of when they are at fault, a sense of when we deserve blame, when we're culpable, when we're guilty, or when we've shown character, when we've done what's right and we've done what's good. And the conscience also gives you that obligation to do the good and reject the evil. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. They are not without some knowledge of God's way. Now, we saw in chapter 1, right? They have some knowledge of God from the creation. And then inside themselves, they're not without some knowledge of God, even though they don't have the law, even though they have all these things that were taught them that are wrong from when they're children. Deep down, there's something there that becomes a law to themselves. Verse 15, it says, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Written in their cardia. We get cardiac from it. Cardia, the heart. Cardia. So the Gentiles have the testimony of creation, and they have, as all humans, the testimony of the heart. Now, we got to qualify this. It says, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. He says, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his way. Just what he says back here in verse 6, according to the fruit of his doing. The heart can be deceitful above all things. And certainly people can fool themselves into believing that their sinful acts are okay. And you can see just how deceitful the heart can become. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, in verse 21, he says, for from within, out of the heart, cardia, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So the heart of man can become terribly deceitful, desperately wicked. But initially, everyone, God gives everyone a conscience. If you read in verse 15, he says here, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, cardia, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. And that word there for conscience is Sunedesis. The Greek word means a moral consciousness, a conscience. Literally, it means a knowing with. Vine says it's a co-knowledge with oneself. It's a knowledge that comes along with oneself, the witness born to one's conduct by conscience. That faculty by which we apprehend the will of God as that which is designed to govern our lives. It's right there working with us, giving us thoughts about the actions we do. Archibald Thomas Robinson said the word means a joint knowledge, a knowing with, a knowing together, co-knowledge by the side of the original consciousness of the act. We're aware of the act we do, and then we have this co-knowledge telling us that's good or telling us that's bad, right alongside of it, right? And the second knowledge is almost personified as confronting the first. And really it's coming from where? From the Holy Spirit, right? Convicting us of sin, right? The Spirit's striving with men. The Holy Spirit doesn't just strive with Christians, right? What does it say in the reason for the flood? I will not always strive with man, right? Striving, trying to convict. Paul uses this word, sunedesis, conscience, 20 times in his letters. We're not going to go over all 20, so don't be afraid. But it's a word that's used over and over again. And Robinson says, all men have this faculty of passing judgment on their actions. It goes along with us. It knows with us. It tells us what we're doing and passing judgment on our actions. It's consciousness of one's thoughts. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. That's the NIV. In the New King James, would have had no more consciousness of sins. That word there is synaedesis, which is translated here conscience. And then once you have consciousness of your thoughts, the consciousness of the distinction between right and wrong, what is right, what am I thinking or doing that's right, what am I thinking or doing that's wrong, and the approval or disapproval of that based on it. And Paul, if you look in Acts chapter 23, when he's speaking, the commander wants him to give reasons for why they're so mad at him. It says the next day in verse 30, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, the commander releases Paul from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, this is chapter 23, verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He can say, I have a clear conscience as a believer in what I've done. And that's when the high priest Ananias commanded that those who stood by him strike him in the mouth. When Paul says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, he speaks about his own conscience. He says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. I have this testimony. My conscience tells me I've conducted myself in the right way, Paul says. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, he appeals to their conscience. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciences. He appeals to their conscience of knowing what he's doing is right or what he's doing is wrong.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, helps, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on Rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org. And you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.